Turn with me, if you would, back to 1 John chapter 3. Our goal and our desire in preaching the gospel is to be simple. When we preach the gospel, that's our aim, that's our desire, our goal. We are here to declare Christ as clearly and as simply as we possibly can. That's the aim of preaching the gospel. I want to try to do that today. All I want to do is notify us of something. That's all I want to do. It's that simple. I just want to notify us of something. Let's read verses 4 and 5 here in 1 John chapter 3. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. That's the notification. Those two verses just told us the truth about us and the truth about Christ. Verse 5 says, he was manifested to take away our sins. That means we have them. And then it says, in him is no sin. That means he doesn't. He doesn't have any. In him is no sin. In us is all sin. Verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. That's what sin is. It is a transgression of the law. Sin is breaking the law. That's what sin is. Breaking the law. The law that's written in this word, the law that's written on the heart, the law of the land. Breaking the law is sin. Breaking the law is sin. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now that ought to explain to us what our whole problem is. We are lawbreakers. That's what we are. We are lawbreakers. It is our nature. It is in our nature. It is our nature to break the law. That's what we do. That's what this fleshly nature desires to do. Have you ever read a mattress tag before? A tag on a mattress. It says, do not remove this tag under penalty of law. You ever read that? It says, so help me, if you cut this tag off, we'll lock you up for life. We'll ruin you. Have you ever wanted to cut the tag off? Do you know why? Sin. Now, for the record, I know what the tag means. But the point is, it is in our nature to rebel against the authority of the law. I'm made fun of by quite a few people because they say that I drive slow. I don't think I drive that slow. I think I'm an average speed driver. but I'm accused of driving slow because I drive about 4 miles an hour over the speed limit. It's just what I do. If it says 45, I do 49. If it says 70, I set my cruise to 74. Slow or not slow, I'm a lawbreaker. I confess to you. I've had the girls ask me from the back seat before, "Dad, isn't it 45 right here?" Yeah. At that point, it doesn't matter if I'm 4 over or 40 over. It doesn't matter. I'm a lawbreaker. I'm a lawbreaker. I consciously know that the word speed limit means speed limit. It means this is the maximum speed that the law will allow you to do. But here's the problem for me. My nature won't let me do it. It just won't let me do it. It's just too slow. That's just too slow. I'm not taking advantage of the situation. I'm not getting all I can get out of it. People are going to hear that and they're going to say, "What are you talking about? You mean to tell me that God would eternally damn a soul for breaking the speed limit? For their car going over the speed limit?" Well, let me ask you this question. Is that breaking the law? People say, "Well, yeah, but," I mean, that shouldn't even count. Everybody does that. Everybody does that. That ought to be a give me. Turn with me to James chapter 2, just after Hebrews. James chapter 2. Verse 8 says, "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well." If you could fulfill that and truly, honestly, love your neighbor as you love your own self, you would do well. Verse 9 says, "But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin." If you do that for some people and not for everybody. It goes on to say, "Then you are convinced of the law as a transgressor." Now watch verse 10. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." If it were possible for a man to fulfill every commandment in the law, the law of the word, the law of the heart, the law of the land. If it was possible for a man to fulfill every commandment of the law perfectly, but he broke just one commandment, knowingly or unknowingly. Have you ever been pulled over and the police officer said, "You were speeding"? And you say, "Well, I didn't even know. I didn't realize that the speed limit went down." And he says, "Well, it was posted. Whether you saw it or not, it was posted." Knowingly or unknowingly, if he broke even just one commandment of the law, he would be a transgressor of the law. And he would be guilty of suffering the penalty for transgressing the law. It would be on his record. This man is a sinner. This man is a sinner. He has broken the law. Turn with me to Romans 3. Romans 3 verse 19 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every person on earth has broken the law. Therefore, every person on earth is a sinner. Now, that's the truth about us. That is the truth about us. Here is the truth about Christ. In Him is no sin. In Him is no transgression of the law. Let me show that to you in a few scriptures. Turn with me over to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, this is Christ speaking. In verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." Christ said to his Father, "Your holy, perfect law is within my heart. I have it right here in my heart." He said, "Father, I love thy law. I delight to do it." Look with me at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says, and again, this is Christ speaking. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, one dot of the I or one cross of the T shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." All of it. All of it. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 3. Luke 3, verse 21 says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." The Father said, "Perfect. You are perfect. You are perfect. Absolutely perfect." Now turn with me to John 18. I love this right here. John 18. This is the moment of our Lord's crucifixion. This is the moment that man is going to hang him on a tree. And in John 18, verse 38, Pilate said unto him, unto Christ, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." I adore that. You're going to crucify him. He's about to suffer punishment, judgment. Let it be known the judge finds in him no fault at all. In John 19, verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Verse 6, when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. They were telling Pilate, Crucify him. We want you to crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him. You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. I cannot find one transgression. Now turn with me over to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Without sin. Romans 10, verse 4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ made it all the way to the end of the law and never broke one. Never. The law examined him and said he fulfilled every one of them. Every one of them. So here's where we are so far. This is where we are in our message so far. In us is all sin. And in him is no sin. Now here's the glory of the gospel. Go with me, if you would, back to our text. 1 John 3. 1 verse 4 says, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Our great problem before God is our sin. We are all sin before God. But for God's elect people, for His chosen people, the great glory of Christ, the great glory of the gospel, that amazing grace of our Savior is that He came down to take away our sins. All of our sins. All of our sins and all of our sins, if we belong to Him. All of the sins of all of His people, from every tribe, nation, kindred, tongue, every generation, from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, He came to take away all of the sins from all of the people that His Father gave to Him. One man, by the sacrifice of Himself, through the shedding of His own blood, took away all of that sin. All of the sins. If He took away just all of my sins, how amazing would that sacrifice be? But He took away all of the sins of all of His people throughout all of the world. One man. I told you the story before. I heard this a few years ago. It was of a family who was walking to church one Sunday morning. And on the way, the little boy was all over the place. And as kids do, you know, just bouncing off the walls. And they finally got to the service and they sat down. And God truly blessed the message that day. He truly blessed the message. God sent His Spirit. And that's what we need if we are going to receive a blessing. We need God to send His Spirit. We beg Him to come into this place and send His Spirit. Well, the Lord blessed the message and it touched the hearts of all the people that morning. And they truly entered into the substitution of Christ. And those of you who have entered into the substitution of Christ understand that. They understand that moment of when God truly lets them enter into what Christ did for them. It was made real to them. It was made effectual to them. They heard how He came to take their sin from them. Why He came? He came for one reason, to take their sin from them by laying it on Himself and putting it away, completely taking away every sin, completely removing every transgression they'd ever committed, every single one, by offering Himself to God as a sacrifice for their sin. One sacrifice accomplished all of it. All of it. By Himself, once. That's all it took for Him to put all of that sin away forever. And now because of that, there's no more judgment. No more penalty. It's only life forevermore. Well, on the way home, that little boy, who was usually all over the place, he was walking quietly. He had his head hanging down just a little bit. And his dad noticed it and he said, "Son, do you feel okay?" "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, is anything wrong?" "No, sir." He said, "I was just thinking about something that the preacher said." His dad said, "Really? What's that?" He said, "Well, I was just wondering, how could the death of one man put away so much sin?" The preacher said, "Because of all of our sin, all of us have to die. All of us. But by the death of one man, we all get to live. Because of His one death, all of our sin is taken away and we get to live. How could one man die for all those other people? How could the death of one man be enough for all of us? How could the death of one man be enough for all of us? If we all have to die, how could one man die for all?" Well, his dad said, Didn't know what to say. So they kept walking, and just a moment, though, he stopped, tapped his son on the shoulder, and he said, "Look right there. Right next to the sidewalk was a grasshopper eating a blade of grass." He stooped down with his son and he said, "How many grasshoppers do you think it would take to equal the life of one little boy? The value of the life, the worth of the life." And the little boy said, "Well, I don't think all the grasshoppers in the world would equal the life of one little boy." He said, "Son, the one who came to die for us is the holy, spotless, sinless Son of God. God Himself came down. God Himself made Himself to be a man. God became a man. And the Scripture says that we sinful men, women, boys, and girls are counted as nothing more than grasshoppers. That's all we are compared to Him. grasshoppers. And because the life of all of his sinful grasshoppers, all of them combined, couldn't even come close to comparing to the life and the value of the perfect God-man. When he died, by that one offering, by that one sacrifice, when he traded his life for the life of all of his grasshoppers, all of them were saved. The payment was so much greater than what was required. There was so much value in that one man. One payment bought them all. Paid it all. That's what he came to do, and that's what he did. He was manifested to take away our sins. And because in him is no sin. Because in him is no sin. Because his value is so great. And because the cost, the worth of his offering was so infinite, he was able to accomplish exactly what he came to do. Turn back a few pages with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." That is nothing more than a notification of what Christ has done for his people. That is not a call to arms. That's not a call to action. That's not half of a contract, as long as we'll fulfill the other half. It's a glorious declaration. That's a beautiful notification of what Christ has done for his people. And if we are his people, and this notification is for us, if the notification is for us, then when we hear it, this will be our response. When I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin, then sings my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Is that our response to the notification? If it is, go one more time to our text. 1 John 3. Verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. May God give us faith to believe that announcement, to love it, to cling to it, to need it. May our hope be found in him. That's a glorious place to be, in him.